Our reading for today is taken from the third chapter of St. John, possibly one of the most familiar Bible passages in the Scriptures. It is recorded in our Lord's evening discussion with Nicodemus, who came to him in the cover of darkness for fear of being discovered. And we read beginning with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was in college, there was a movie that came out known as The Jerk, and it wasn't about my life, but it could have been. Steve Martin, the actor, portrays a man whose life is virtually going nowhere, and he is a nobody. And at one point in the movie, when the new phone book arrives, he searches for his name and suddenly jumps around screaming and proclaiming, "Page 73, Johnson, Navin R., I'm somebody now." The humor in this is just how irrelevant our individual lives truly are in the mass population of humanity. In the vastness of that population, when we really think about how big and huge the world is and how many people live presently on the earth and have lived throughout time, how small and insignificant my life seems to all of that. When I was in seventh grade, we took a class trip and we were in a science museum, and I still remember seeing a scoreboard of the world's population. And I stood there with the second hand on my watch, and every 7 seconds a new number was ticked up on that scoreboard. To think of that only 7 seconds is how long this world pauses to think about your life as you come into this world. In New York City, the number of people that are just on welfare is almost equal to the size of the population of the greater Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Just get your mind around that. That's just how many people in New York City are on welfare. The massive population that there is, just in our country or in the world, can be overwhelming. And when we consider ourselves in the midst of all of that, we can feel very inconsequential. We can feel very obscure and virtually irrelevant. How tiny and meaningless my little spot on the earth is, and how irrelevant my years in this world can be and in this life. It's like watching an enormous black flock of birds flying out over the fields, as we sometimes see this time of year, and to think how each tiny little individual speck is one of those birds, but how lost they are in the vast number. The first chapter of Ecclesiastes says this: one generation passes away, and another generation comes. Goes on to describe the vanity of this world, the emptiness and apparent meaninglessness of this life when we consider how small and insignificant we are. And at the same time, as our text reminds us, this immense, almighty, all-knowing God looks down at this vast population of humanity, and he has this deep affection in his heart for humanity. God so loved the world population. Now, sometimes when we think of that statement, it can seem so big and so huge and so vast, it can actually kind of seem impersonal that he would love the world. But the simple question we must each ask ourselves is, so am I part of the world? Am I part of that object of God's love? Inside of me, there's often little ounces of worry back in my conscience and in my memory. When I think about some of the stuff I've done in my life, some of the repetitive problems with sin that I've had, some of the ways that I have acted. And we can sometimes at that moment wonder about ourselves, am I really an object of God's love? Now consider this. Had God in this text, had Jesus in his discussion with Nicodemus stated it like this, God so loved good people, or had he said, God so loved people of faith and religious people, or had he said, God loves some people, what would have been the first question in your mind and in your heart? That would seem to then have potentially an exclusive quality to it. But the fact that God so loved the world means that not a single one of us here today, no matter how deep we have fallen into sin, no matter how frequent we have lived in sin, no matter how strong or lacking or even completely not there faith may be in us, God still loves the world. And you then are part of that. You see, this text is not about how you feel. It's about how God feels about you. The gospel comes to us without absolutely any strings attached. There are no conditions. There are no pre-qualifiers. It just goes out. God so loved the world, you. It doesn't have to have something ahead of it in order for you to somehow match up to that statement. And the fact that this love from God that's poured out to us through Christ, the fact that that love is for all humanity who's lived through all time, even though in some ways that may seem to be the most impersonal, you could argue that's what makes it the most personal. Because that means not a single one of us here today can walk away questioning whether it was for us. That means you know with absolute certainty that what happened through the birth of Christ was for you. And despite the immense population that the Almighty God has to keep his eye on, despite the vastness of humanity, nevertheless, we're reminded in Scripture of how individual that love is from God. We think about how Jesus tells us that every hair on our head is numbered. We don't even know that. We're told stories about how Christ noticed that one woman that touched his garment as he is walking through a crowd of people, and he spotted that. We think about how the woman came to give her tiny little gift in the alms box near the temple, and that Jesus knew her entire finances right down to the very penny. I'm often amazed with things that parents will do based upon their love for their children. Just how deep and strong that love can be. People who truly love their children, that they would virtually give up everything they have, and sometimes even their own health, for the sake of the welfare of their children. And that same love is to be found in a much greater degree in the one who established and created love, God our Heavenly Father. And if he now has chosen to give up his own son, his own child, so that you and I could benefit and have our futures improved, what does that say about the depth of commitment that this God has toward you and me and has toward our future? What does that say about the value that he has placed upon your particular, singular, personal head? One of the church fathers said it this way, if God has given up his son, then there is absolutely nothing he will hold back. Through the birth of the Christ child, this one birth that could have easily been an irrelevant birth in the mass of humanity and in the history of mankind in a little barn outside of Bethlehem, but in that one birth where God himself took on human flesh to enter our world to atone for our sins and pay for the way to heaven for us, that one birth of Christ now changes the value of your birth. And of all births. And God now leaves nothing to be done. It's all taken care of in this text. All you have to do is believe it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He goes on to say, Jesus, he who believes in him is not condemned. That's it. Period. End of story. Just trust in him, and you're not going to be condemned. You have nothing but the hope of heaven in front of you. But that faith is so important. One of my seminary professors, Jewel Madsen, put it this way. The gospel is at the same time the most inclusive and the most exclusive teaching. And what he meant by that is this. It is the most inclusive that not a single soul can claim it doesn't come happen for them and isn't for them. At the same time, it is the most exclusive because it is only through faith in Christ. And so, as we celebrate this precious Christmas season, let us receive the gift God has given us in his Son and simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have life and purpose and value in this world and in the world to come. Amen.